But as we think about the forgiveness, we think about the ways in which we are prone to wandering, ways in which we are prone to sinning against You in thoughts and words and things that we have left undone, things that we have done. Lord, there have been ways where we've been angered at the treatment of others against us. There have been ways in which we have not wanted to obey You. There have been ways in which we have not wanted to love You or love our neighbor. There are ways in which we've been selfish, which we've been greedy, which we've been lustful. There are ways in which we have sinned. Lord, we need Your forgiveness. We need You to cleanse our hearts. We need You to restore to us the joy of our salvation. And we pray that You would do that. Thank You for the forgiveness and the great hope that we have through Christ. In Your mighty name we do pray. Amen. Earlier this week, I was reading a book to my children that was titled Libba. It's the story of Elizabeth Cotton, a folk singer who surprisingly played the guitar upside down and backwards because she was left-handed. And I guess she had a right-handed guitar. And the book opens with this description of Libba. Libba Cotton heard music everywhere. She heard it in the river when she brought in the water for her mother. She heard it in the axe when she chopped wood for kindling. She heard it in the freight trains moving down the tracks near her home. Libba heard music everywhere. She heard it in the nature, in her actions. And perhaps that's what made her such a great musician. I have a horrible hearing. Like, I can hear something, but I can never pronounce it. You know, I have trouble with languages. I have trouble with music. I tried to play the guitar, but I could never, just get it to play back. I had trouble with music, with words, with hearing. And I've always been envious of great musicians, that they can hear things and they can just magically play it and make great music appear. In the church in Pittsburgh, I knew a friend, and I asked him, "How did you learn Mandarin?" And he goes, "I just went into a Chinese church for about a month, I listened to the sermon, and I learned it." He had great hearing, and he would hear, and he'd automatically remember, and he'd be able to speak it. He spoke 10 languages. I was amazed. Without ever studying in school, just listening, he picked up on so many languages. But unlike Libba, I often fail to hear. Right? Think about the sounds that are around us. There are birds chirping, right? Right now there's a lot of birds or crickets chirping. Children playing. If we just walk around our neighborhood, we hear children playing, screaming, laughing, crying. Sirens blaring. Car horns beeping. Water thundering as it flows down Mount Olympus or one of the mountains around us. But while these sounds are all around us, I often fail to hear the sounds. I'm just going my busy life, going my busy way, and not really paying attention to the music, to the sounds that are around me. I rarely sit quietly and ponder just the music, the sound of life. Hearing, careful listening, careful paying attention to the sounds or to the words that our friends tell us, to the words that our parents tell us, we just often don't listen. We are very poor listeners. We live in a very distracted world where we hear things that we really don't hear, right? There's so many times where I don't listen to my children. I don't listen to what my wife tells me. I don't listen to someone telling me their name for the first time. I don't listen to something someone tells me. I am a poor listener many times. Poor listening is seen in so many ways. And we need to carefully listen to others, but most importantly, more than we need to listen to others, or more than we need to listen to the sound of water coming down on the roof, as Stephen made reference when it was raining, we need to carefully listen, carefully hear the Word of God. And that's what the call is for us today in Luke chapter 8. We're continuing our series through Luke. And in Luke 8, Jesus gives a well-known parable called the parable of the soils. And we're going to consider that word today as we consider Jesus' call to carefully hear, carefully listen to the Word of God. So I'm going to invite you to stand with me for the reading of God's Word, because this is God's Word that we come to hear from, sit under, and seek to understand so we walk by faith and obedience to Christ. So I'm going to read Luke 8, 4 through 21. "And when a great crowd was gathering, and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, 'A sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed. Some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot,
and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on the rock, as it grew up, withered away, because it had no moisture. Some fell among thorns, and thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good seed, soil, and grew and yielded a hundredfold. And he said these things. He called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but they have no root. They believe for a while, and in a time of testing, fall away. And as for those that fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life. Their fruit does not mature. As for those in the good soil, they are those who hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. No one, after lighting the lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to the light. Take care then how you hear, for to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. Then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you." But he answered them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. We pray for clarity, for understanding of your word, for clarity of understanding Christ. We pray that you would fill us with understanding, fill us with hope in your word, and fill us with faith and obedience to your word. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Listen up. That's the title of this sermon. Listen carefully to the word of God. Listen up. Disciples of Christ, listen. Carefully listen and joyfully obey the word of God. That's what we see here in this passage. Christ followers, listen carefully and joyfully obey the word of God. And that's what we repeatedly see in this passage. Verse 9, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Verse 18, "Take care then how you hear." Jesus' family, his mother and his brothers, were those who hear the word and do it. The true children of God, those who truly belong to God, are those who hear the word. Those who hear the word, and that hearing leads to faith and obedience to Christ. And that is because the Spirit applies the word of God to our heart. It takes root in our heart, and the Spirit empowers us to walk in obedience to Christ. So we must carefully hear, listen to God's word. And so if you just hear anything, that's kind of the big idea here in this sermon. Listen up. Listen to the Word of God. Don't merely passively sit before the Word and just let it pass through in one ear, out the other. But pay attention. Listen up. But the question might ask, why should I carefully listen to God's Word? What purpose? Why is it important? Recently, I heard someone talk about younger generations. He was speaking about millennials. And I guess technically I'm considered a millennial by some things. Or younger generations could be called Generation Zs, I believe. That's what they're called. There's different millennials different generations out there. And one thing this person said is that millennials cannot merely be told what to do. You can't just say, "Go do this," and they'll go do it. Or Generation Z or whatever. They need to be told why to do it. What is the purpose? Why is this valuable? Why is this important? I don't know if you're like that, where you need reasons. But oftentimes in life, we need to be told not merely what to do, but why this is valuable. Why is this worth hard work? Why is this needed in my life? And I would suggest there are three reasons why we should carefully listen to God's Word. three reasons why it's important, it's valuable for us to carefully listen, carefully pay attention to God's Word. And the first reason that I would suggest is that faith comes through hearing. That faith, salvation, comes through hearing of God's Word. Saving faith, salvation, comes through hearing the Gospel. It doesn't come through going through a concert or going to all these different things. It comes through hearing the Word of God. Going on a mission trip could be great, but faith doesn't come through that. Faith comes through hearing the Gospel. Hearing the Word of God. God has revealed Himself through words. Right? God is a speaking God. He's chosen to speak to us through His words. And His revelation, His words reveal Himself, His plan of salvation, and the way in which we can know God. But God's Word are not only reveal Him, they're also powerful to accomplish salvation. God works through His Word to accomplish salvation. Consider Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. Faith and hearing, they come together. Michael Horton says this, "It is the Gospel that creates faith. The Spirit working through the Gospel gives it all. Faith yielding repentance, love, and the fruit of the Spirit." And so that's what we see in Scripture. The Word of God creates faith. And in the parable of the soils, Jesus is pictured as a sower. Right? He's sowing seeds. I don't know if any of you have a garden or planted grass seeds or planted anything. But there's this picture of Jesus being the great sower, and He's sowing the Word of God into everybody's heart. God's Word is generously sown among people. And this is because God desires to reveal Himself, His plan of salvation, to the world, to people. And that's the picture we see here. But although God's seed, His Word, is sown, not everybody hears the Word. Right? There are different responses to God's Word. Not everybody receives it. Some hear and believe, but others do not comprehend or understand the Gospel. They remain resistant to the Word of God. And this parable illustrates this reality. But have you ever asked the question, why do some people receive the Word, but others not? Maybe you're in a family, and you have a brother or sister, or you have a parent or someone that rejects the Word of God, but others receive it. There are different responses to God's Word. I have family members, I'm sure you guys do, that reject the Word, remain resistant to the Word. But why is that the case? Jesus explains this reality in verse 10. "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." This is a difficult verse right here. And what Jesus says is that there are two groups of hearers. Some have been given knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God, but others are blinded. They haven't had it revealed to them. They are left in the dark. But by secrets, Jesus does not mean, like, when we think about secret, maybe you think about being in high school or middle school and someone has a secret crush on someone else and you're trying to figure out who has a secret crush. The secret is not something that we need to find out that someone else has. The secret of a Christmas gift or a gift that someone has that they haven't told us. The secret refers to God's plan of salvation, the Gospel that was previously hidden, but now God has chosen to reveal through Christ. We cannot discover the truth of the Gospel on our own. God must reveal it to us. And that's what secret or mystery means in Scripture. We cannot get it through our own hard work. God has to choose to reveal it to us in His great mercy. And in God's sovereign mercy, some have received the knowledge, the secrets of God's kingdom, but others are blinded. Others fail to comprehend. This is difficult to hear. It does not seem fair that God has revealed to some and concealed to others. It doesn't seem fair that some receive it, but others are hardened. Some hear and believe, while others refuse. This reality is meant to shock us. It's meant to wake us up and to be alert to the seriousness of hearing. You will either receive it and grow in it, or you will have it concealed and you'll be further hardened to God's Word. Hearing God's Word is important. It's vital. And that's what Jesus is saying here. And one question that is meant to alert us as we read this passage is for us to question, how am I hearing? How am I listening? What is my response to the Word of God as I've heard it throughout my life? Whether you've heard it only one time or whether you've heard it for 50 years. How am I responding? How am I hearing God's Word? I can encourage you to ask that question of yourself. And in the parable, we see three ways in which people are prevented or from hearing or comprehending the gospel. One is demonic deception. Right? Verse 12, Jesus speaks about the seed falling on a path where it's trampled and devoured by birds. The picture of the birds is a picture of Satan coming and plucking the word from people's hearts. From Satan coming and taking it and preventing people from hearing God's word. The picture is that the seed is unfruitful. The seed is destroyed. The seed never germinates, right? Maybe if we threw grass seed and it fell on like our driveway, right? That seed is never going to germinate. It's never going to become fruitful, right? Maybe a bird would come and pluck that seed. And one of the reasons for unbelief, why people don't believe, is because of the work of the devil. And that's what Jesus is saying here and throughout Scripture. Satan wants to seek to prevent people from hearing God's word. 2 Corinthians 4, 3-4 says this. The God of this age, speaking about the devil, speaking about Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Christopher Morgan says this, one of the works of the devil is to hinder people from placing their faith in Jesus and thus enjoying eternal life. So the picture we see here is that one reason why people are hardened is that Satan is seeking to prevent people from hearing and believing the gospel. Another reason is what we could call external pressures. The seed is sown on rocky soil. And this soil is not like just gravel placed on top of the ground, but really what it was soil that maybe looked good, but underneath were a bunch of rocks. And so the seed would penetrate, it would look like it's going to grow, but it would quickly wither and it would quickly die. It would be unfruitful. The soil might look good, but it would never have any root. It would never bear fruit. And response, this picture here is that through difficulties, through sufferings, through challenging circumstances, people's faith can wither away. They can maybe be excited one time. They can be excited by going to a Christian concert, through a retreat. But then they come back, difficulties happen, they have relational problems, difficulties with job, difficulties in family, difficulties in life, and that faith withers away and dies. A third way in which people can fail to hear and respond to the word is through worldly desires. Right? And that's pictured in the third soil. The seed is surrounded and infested with thorns. And when I was in Africa back in 2004 and 2005, I remember walking around Africa. In Africa, they had these thorns. I mean, some of them seemed to be this big. I mean, they were enormous. And I would step on a thorn sometimes and would go all the way through my shoe and prick my foot. It was incredibly painful. I'd never seen thorns like that in my life. And these thorns would just take over trees and plants and crops. They could be very destroying to choke out the life of the other plants. And that's a picture here that Jesus is saying. That the thorns represent the cares, the riches, and pleasures of life that can choke out the Word of God from our life. And I want you to think about that in your life. Right? Notice the cares of life are good things. Like we might be caring about just different needs. We want to be caring about our children's needs. Our children's need to do great in school, to get to college, to play soccer, to play t-ball, to go to piano lessons, to do these different things. We might be thinking about just the need to maybe make more money because we feel financial pressures. We may have all these different cares, desires, riches. And what happens in life is that they can slowly eat away and prevent us from hearing God's word. And that is so prone to happening in our lives. I think this is a dominant thing in America. That slowly over time, maybe the academic pressures, the job pressures, the money pressures, the things to get our children to all these events. We slowly just, over time, we look, man, when's the last time I read God's Word? Maybe we slowly quit coming to church. Maybe we slowly just don't see the need to come to that. And just the Word becomes, we become slowly hardened and just not desiring the Word. And we look over our lives, and it can be years since we've read the Word of God. This is prone to happening in our lives. Worries, pleasures, riches choke out the Word of God. Listen to this strong statement in 2 Timothy 4:10. Paul says this, "For Demas," so Demas was some guy that had helped Paul, "in love with the present world has deserted me." He loved the present world and he deserted Paul. Same thing can be happening for us. We can love the riches, the pleasures of this life, and we can desert God and the Word of God. So friends, hearing the Word is vital. We need to hear the Word. The world's need is to hear the Word. And the fourth soil is one who laid it on good soil and it bore fruit. We need to hear the Word for salvation. We need to carefully listen to God's Word. But the second reason is that it's because of fruitfulness. Fruitfulness or growth increases through hearing. And here we'll focus primarily on verse 15. And at various times in my life, people have asked me, or people have said to me, or I've noticed in my life that I have not grown much. Frustrations can grow at our church, at our fellowship, at our family, at our friends. And a frustration can lead us to different conclusions. We can think, this church is just not helping me grow. Maybe you've thought that before or heard that. My fellowship group is not meeting my needs. This worship team is not helping me worship God, to feel the presence of God. This pastor is not charismatic or relevant enough. Our lack of growth can be attributed to a lot of things. A lot of outside forces. But what we rarely look at and really think about is that our lack of growth is often focused on our relationship to the Word of God. Growth happens through hearing the Word of God. Fruitfulness happens not through going to hear some charismatic speaker speak, to going to some big Christian conference. Fruitfulness, growth happens through the Word of God. That's what Jesus says here. Christians grow through the Word. We need to carefully hear the Word of God because fruitfulness increases through hearing. And that's what we see here with this parable. We see seeds that landed on hardened soil that never penetrated. Seeds that landed on rocky soil that withered away. Seeds that landed on thorns, but the cares and desires and pleasures of the world choked it out. But now the good soil lands on an honest and good heart, verse 15. A heart that receives the Word in faith, and this faith is demonstrated by holding firm to the Word of God. Right? Holding fast to the Word of God. In difficulties and worldly desires, this heart clings to the Word of God. Look what it says. As for that is in the good soil are those who, hearing the Word, hold fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. Bear fruit with endurance. Bear fruit with perseverance. That's what the Word of God produces in our life. An endurance, a perseverance, a patience. And last spring and fall, I attempted to plant grass seed in my front yard. If you've been to my house, you see that that was very unsuccessful. My front yard is pretty poor. I attempted to prepare the dirt, fertilize the dirt, water the dirt. And some seeds started to come up. I was like, yes, it's going to grow. A couple weeks later, it all died. I am quite a failure at planting seed in Utah dirt. I was successful in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania dirt, but not here. It did not work out for me. And in these failures, it led me to question my ability to plant grass seed and if I should ever try it again. I haven't made a decision what I'll do. And I just said, let's just give up. Let's just say, just let everything die and I'll think of something else to do. No more grass in Utah. And sometimes in life, I think about this idea about me with planting grass seeds. Sometimes we can have a similar attitude to the Word of God. We might see a lack of growth in our life. We might see a lack of growth in other people's life. We might be frustrated with our Sunday school class. Maybe our children, they just don't seem to be growing. Or our own lives. And we could be tempted to give up sowing the Word of God into our hearts or other people's lives. To seek growth in other techniques outside the Word of God. Good church programs. A powerful speaker. Maybe if we had Tim Tebow to come and give his testimony, people would get saved. Right? Something like that. If we had Jeremy Lin come and give his testimony, man, people would come and get saved. Different things like that. If we had these types of things, what Scripture says is that growth, fruitfulness comes through the Word of God. It might not always be exciting. It might be hard work at times. But fruitfulness, growth comes through the Word of God. God powerfully works through His Word to produce great fruit. Through the Spirit-empowered application of the Word of God into people's hearts, people grow. So the call is listen up. Carefully listen to God's Word. Listen up because God produces great fruitfulness through His Word. His Word takes root in our good heart and bears godly fruit. The godly fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Consider Colossians 1, 5 and 6. The gospel which has come to you. So the gospel has come to you. And listen what the gospel does. As indeed the whole world, it is bearing fruit and increasing. As it has done among you since the day you heard it and understand the grace of God in truth. The gospel is powerful to bring about fruitfulness and growth. And then in verse 18, Jesus says, take care then how you hear. For the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has, it will be taken away. This verse reminds me of going down to the bathroom downstairs. So if we go down to the basement, we go to the bathroom. After using the bathroom, hopefully you wash your hands, right? And after we wash our hands are wet, we want a paper towel, right? And so we go to the paper towel dispenser, right? We got the fancy electric, you know, you stick your hand up to it and a paper towel comes down. Right? You grab a paper towel and you tear it. So you take one, but maybe you want two because your hand's still a little damp. And you can keep taking paper towels as much as your heart desires, as many paper towels as you want. Right? And we just keep grabbing until I've had enough paper towels. And so that's kind of this picture here that we can take as many as we want. And the picture here of God's blessing is that to those who have, to those who receive the Word, to those who keep on receiving, hearing, and walking in obedience to the Word, more and more and more is given. God continues to bless people with and through His Word. But for those who reject His Word, for those who just kind of hear it and let it pass by, the picture is that it will be taken away. And so what Jesus is saying, it's important to listen. It's important to hear. Because God continues to bless us as we hear, receive, and grow in His Word. He continues to bless us with more and more fruitfulness, more and more of His Word, more and more of knowing Him. So the call for us is to carefully listen to God's Word. And we need to ask, how am I listening? Are we hearing and allowing the Word to take root in our lives? Are you nurturing the seed of the Word of God in your life? Are you watering it? Are you fertilizing it? If we want to use analogies of growing grass. Are we seeking to grow in hearing and understanding God's Word so the Word would bear fruit in our lives? Third, missions is fueled through hearing. You probably didn't think missions would be seen in this passage, but bear with me for a second. The third reason why we need carefully hear is because missions or evangelism, I believe, is fueled from this passage through the hearing of God's Word. We don't really associate evangelism with hearing, but I think we see this in this passage. And I've never actually been to Southern Utah. I hope to go later this month. But I've never been camping to Southern Utah or to a national park. But I imagine if you go camping down there, when the sun goes down there, it can get pretty dark, right? Pretty dark when the sun goes down, and you might need a lantern or something like that. And here in this verses 16 and 17, Jesus moves from the example of soils and seed to the picture of a lamp, light and darkness. Right? Lamps are important when it's dark, when you're camping, when the power goes out, when things like that. And lamps must not merely be lit, they must be placed up high to make best use of the light. The oil lamps in this passage were not that much brighter than a candle, so you needed to be careful to put them up so you can make the best use of life. Lights shine, they illumine our path so that we can see. When I was in Africa, every day at about 6 o'clock when I was cooking dinner, the power would go out. And I'd have to like be cooking over a little candle just to try to see and get the right ingredients in my food. It could be quite annoying, but I'd need that light to cook. Right? And in the Bible, we see that light is often referenced to Jesus, to the gospel, and even to God's people. Jesus is the light of the world, John 9:5. And through the gospel, we've been delivered from darkness, represents sin, to God's marvelous light. We are now the light of the world, Matthew 5:14. We are meant to shine as lights in the world, Philippians 2:15. Reception of the gospel is meant to shining forth the light of the gospel. But look what we see in this passage. What is the temptation to do with this light? It's to hide the light under the bed or to cover it with a jar. To fail to proclaim the light of the gospel to others. To foolishly cover the light under the bed so that only maybe you would see it. This would be foolish and selfish. Out of fear, we fail to proclaim the gospel to others. How do you see that temptation in your life? Well, you just don't really want to tell someone about Jesus. How might the Holy Spirit be calling you to proclaim the gospel to others and not hide the light of the gospel underneath your bed or in your room? And the point that Jesus makes here is that our listening, the way in which we hear, directly impacts our mission. Could our slowness in evangelism, our lack of passion for the nations to hear the gospel, be because we're not carefully listening to the Word of God? Listen to what it says. Because he's speaking about, in verses 16 and 17, about the lamp, about hiding for nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest. What he's saying here is that the light illumines who God is. It exposes how people respond. And then he says, take care then how you hear. What I think he's saying here is that the way in which we hear directly impacts how we might want to share and proclaim the light of the gospel to others. John Piper says it much better than I can. John Piper says this: the success of how the Word of God spreads in the world depends upon how you hear. On Wednesday for lunch, I was eating a taco at Rancheritos. And while sitting there, I saw a young man walk in that seemed to just be going through a challenging situation. His face, his experiences, had backpack on him. He just seemed to be going through a difficult time. But as soon as he got in there, I walked up and two LDS missionaries were speaking to this man. They were instructing him on the temple and the importance of the temple and how the temple could be just meet all his needs. They were offering to help him. They were exchanging numbers with him. And this guy seemed to be getting intimately involved with the LDS missionaries. I was very grieved as I watched this. This young man did not need to hear the doctrine of Joseph Smith. He didn't need to hear about how great the Mormon temple would be in their eyes. What he needed to hear was the gospel of Jesus Christ. He needed to hear about the redemption that was through Christ. He needed to hear about the forgiveness of sins through Christ. And friends, many times when I look at my life, I'm unwilling to go and talk to the person that walks beside me at Rancherito, or my neighbor, or my friend, or my classmate. But what I pray, what I hope, is that our hearing of the Word, our reading of the Word, our hearing of the Word through fellowship groups, or through Sunday, or through Sunday school, would compel us, propel us, to proclaim the gospel to those in our community. And so, friends, the question that I hope that we can consider is, how are you hearing? How are you hearing God's Word as you read it? How are you hearing God's Word when you come to a Friday or a Sunday? How are you preparing to not just hear the Word, but to apply the Word to your lives? Do you walk out on a Sunday thinking about, I want to respond to God's Word in this way. I want to apply God's Word to my heart in this way. May we be careful, paying attention, listeners to God's Word. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your great Word. I pray, I just thank You for the picture that we read today, just as Stephen was leading us, about what you read from Isaiah, about that Your Word will accomplish its purposes. And the picture that we saw in Isaiah 55 verse 10 speaks about as the rain and snow